Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. So Dear to My Heart was a children's film released in 1948. The movie centers around a boy and his young sheep who was rejected by its mother due to its black wool. And I'll never forget the intro to this movie. It kind of pans out to this old dusty attic in the boy's grandmother's home, and it slowly zooms in on this scrapbook, and the scrapbook eventually opens up, and on each page are these memories from this young man's childhood. Stickers and postcards and pictures, and as the pages flip and the opening credits continue to roll, it eventually reaches this point where it reaches a page with a papier-mâché heart in the middle, and the little heart opens up and it shows what was most fond and dear to this young man's heart, which was a picture of his family's farm and this little sheep that I talked about earlier. And the movie goes on to show how this lamb became so dear to the young man's heart, how the boy nurtured and raised this little sheep, how he cared for it and fed it with a bottle by the fire. And finally, at the culmination of the film, he ended up winning a blue ribbon at the county fair for his very special little lamb. God's word is something that should be just as dear to our hearts as that little lamb was to the boy in the movie. And how we go about making it dear or special in our own lives is a matter of hiding it in our hearts. Well, what do I mean by that? With this sermonette this afternoon, I plan to look at three steps we can take to hide the Word of God in our hearts. So we're going to start off with point number one, right to remember. Right to remember. For many of us, taking notes in church is something that we do. It's a part of our church culture. But more than that, it helps us to take in what we hear, to process it, and transfer that spoken word into words onto a paper. And this process of taking the spoken word and writing it down is an important step toward putting God's word in our hearts. According to an article on LinkedIn.com, there are many benefits to writing down what we hear, including improving our attention to detail, boosting our comprehension and retention, and it also promotes an active learning, just to name a few of the benefits of note-taking. But beyond even the immediate benefits of note-taking and writing, there's also the importance of writing for memory's sake as well. Human history as we know it today is known through the different writings of historians through the centuries, with the Bible being the chief example of this. For the Jews of the first century, it was the sacred writings that made up the Old Testament that provided them with the very foundation of their biblical knowledge. And it was something that had been passed down long up to and after the death of Jesus Christ. The practice of writing down scripture can be one way that we look to further ingrain God's word in our hearts. I mean, how many of us need a list of things to remember what we're going to get at the grocery store? I know my wife is really into lists, and she's constantly writing down things so I won't forget, or different errands that I have to run after work. But the same strategy applies to remembering God's words as well. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we'll pick it up in verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11. In verse 18, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Rather than physical boxes with bits of scripture written on them, this refers to following God's ways in what we do with our hands and what we think with our mind that is between our eyes. Our hands are also the methods that we use to write or to type. And it's fitting that we use our hands to write scripture. Some people have even found it helpful while studying a topic to write out the specific verses that they read to help them remember as a way for personal study and growth. We are to lay up these words that we read and that we hear, like the reference says, to lay up our treasures in heaven. God's words are precious, and one way that we can store them is by writing them down. Let's move on now to point number two. Memorize to share. Memorize to share. Another way that we can store God's words are to memorize little bits of them. And yes, while memorization can seem like a rather difficult task for some people, with the idea of it often sparking, at least for me, bad memories of school and projects and things you had to remember for tests, but at the same time, it's an incredibly valuable tool in our Christian defense. And it's something that throughout the Bible and human history was a tool to instill knowledge. For example, in the first century Galilee, it was a common place for boys to begin their education starting at age 5. And in Jewish culture, this education involved memorizing large sections of the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. The people of Jesus' time knew their scriptures very well, and they were especially aware of the prophecies pointing to a soon coming Messiah. And they didn't have this knowledge because of the internet or pocket-sized scrolls containing the law and the prophets, but rather through memorization and through study. And even in our own modern society, memorization was the traditional way to learn in U.S. schools not all that long ago. And I even suggest that most of us here today are not that unfamiliar with memorization as we might first think. Most of us could probably easily quote lines from our favorite movies or from our favorite songs. Most of us have probably memorized driving routes to and from work or to and from school. And some of us are probably even so familiar with the hymns that we sing that if it's one of our favorites, we don't even need to really open up the hymnal to sing along. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. The word of God should be a part of us. It should be in our heart, as it says here in the scriptures. When a difficult situation arises, certain thoughts will come to mind. And they'll either be godly attitudes or they'll be negative attitudes. And we want ideas from scripture to be some of the first things we think of when we are confronted with difficult situations. Another person put it this way, and I'll quote them here. Even though we have unlimited access to the Bible through technology, we don't have unlimited motivation. Even though we may have unlimited access to the Bible through technology, we don't have unlimited motivation. We may not have the wisdom or energy in the moment of a trial, but instead we should prepare ourselves ahead of time by putting God's word in our hearts. Let's look back now at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and let's go ahead and read verse 7 this time. One verse down in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. The words are not only in our heart for our own benefit, but also so that we can share them with others. We can share a proverb with our children when they come to us with a problem. Additionally, in a discussion with someone questioning our beliefs, we can bring scriptures to mind to help defend our faith and the hope that lies within us. When words have been memorized, they easily transition into our speech. Memorization causes a certain mastery of the subject, which now allows us to be better able to teach what we know to others. And while memorization might be a personal activity, it's not about keeping score, seeing how much one can remember versus someone else. But instead, we should consider memorization as another way to share among those we know, a way to encourage, explain, and to edify. Let's go ahead and look at our third and final point this afternoon. Meditate to internalize. Meditate to internalize. Meditation is our third and final step in hiding God's word in our hearts. Strong's Concordance defines the word meditate as to mutter or to ponder. To mutter or to ponder. It's the action of taking an idea or a thought or a lesson and really thinking long and hard about it. It could be something at church we heard, such as an interesting scripture that we first write down. We then read it again and again until it's memorized in our minds. And then comes this final step. We meditate on those words. We ask ourselves, what does it mean? How could I apply it in my own life? What is God trying to teach me? These are all questions we might consider while meditating on God's word. And it's this deep process of thought that can lead to some of the most substantial growth in our spiritual lives. This is how we take the word of God and hide it in our hearts. We hide these words somewhere safe where no man or worldly factor could ever take them away. Turn with me now to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll go ahead and read verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There's a connection between memorizing and meditating here. In an article at ucg.org, this point is highlighted. And I'm just going to read a passage from this article. Memorizing a verse takes time, perhaps going over it and over it for several days. Having it prominently in mind naturally leads to pondering it. And, in addition, you'll be paying attention to every word of it. End quote. And while we have talked about writing and memorizing scripture, now we go beyond memorizing to internalizing. Consider with me again those well-educated Jews of the first century. I mean, it was great that the Galileans knew their scriptures. They knew them very well. But many were also unresponsive to the gospel message. Memorizing without pondering meaning isn't truly fulfilling God's intent. We as Christians today have to take that next step in our study and really internalize the words in our hearts. We read over in Matthew 4 and verse 4, which I'll read to you for the sake of time, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it's interesting that it says here that we are to live by every word. Some people have memorized scripture without paying any attention to the meaning of it. And that doesn't mean that memorizing scripture is wrong. It just simply means that we must allow the meaning and implication of scriptures to change the way that we live. What's interesting about this passage of scripture in Matthew is that Christ is saying these words in a rebuff to Satan's attempts to persuade him. I mean, Satan's attempts were ultimately doomed from the beginning because, as Christ showed, he did not just know the scriptures, but they were a part of him. They were in his heart. Christ was the very one who had spoken and inspired these words, so he could never be tripped up by them. Certainly, Christ had the scriptures memorized, but they were also internalized. Now, this afternoon, we've taken some time to look at what it means to hide God's word in our heart and how we can go about doing that. We looked at point number one, which was right to remember. We then talked about point number two, memorize to share. And finally, we looked at point number three, meditate to internalize. Now, each one of these three steps could be used independently as we look to better learn and study God's word. But instead, I'd like to look at these three steps as three successive steps on a path. We first write down what we hear, or something interesting that we read in our study, which helps us to remember and retain what we've learned. We then pore over what we've written down again and again and again until the words are burned into our mind, can be easily spoken to others, which was point number two. And finally, these words which we've written down and we've memorized continue to cross our minds again and again and again as we meditate on their meaning and seek to gain knowledge and understanding, which is point number three. These three steps end up complementing each other in the end. And through this process, we begin to bring about the ultimate power of Scripture in our lives. So in conclusion, there's one more verse I'd like us to turn to over in Psalms 119 and verse 11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Brethren, I urge all of us today to hide more and more of God's word in our hearts.